You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Last week, Michigan Radio released an online illustration of just how many support anchors have had to be replaced for the underwater portion of Enbridge's gas and oil pipelines. And it's a bunch. Enbridge Line 5, as you might recall, runs along the bottom of the Straits of Mackinac. That's the body of water connecting Lake Michigan and Lake Huron. The Line 5 is 65 years old, and there's a great deal of concern by people that it might fail spilling crude oil into the Great Lakes. Enbridge, which is a corporate sponsor of Michigan Radio, insists that Line 5 is sound, but it is looking at the idea of constructing an underground tunnel for the twin pipelines. Joining me now is a pipeline safety expert. Richard Kuperwitz is the president of the company AccuFax Incorporated. Welcome to the program.
How you doing?
I'm fine. There have been some computer-modeled simulations of worst-case scenarios if there was a leak in Line 5, and they all look pretty bad. One estimate is that it would cost as much as $2 billion in cleanup costs. How accurate do you think that estimate might be?
Well, I used to think $1 billion was a lot of money. But nowadays, in real sensitive environments, that number is probably not very far off.
Some reports out of Minnesota and Wisconsin find Enbridge does not have enough insurance to cover a spill of another pipeline that Enbridge operates. Does Enbridge have enough insurance to cover the cost of a crude oil spill or leak of Line 5 under the Straits of Mackinac?
I don't really know the details there. Many companies will self-insure to a certain limit, and it depends on the size of the company. And then they'll kick over into like a Superfund consortium. You know, bunch of insurance companies might band together and take it, so they kind of mitigate, spread the risk around. But they're, you know, if you've got risk in certain areas that are so expensive, the premiums can get so high, you got to ask why you'd even do business.
So Enbridge is following the same kind of insurance pattern most of the other pipeline companies.
Yeah, same, very similar business model. I'd say it'd be difficult for them to handle it by themselves.
To handle a Line 5 spill.
Yes. Now, they did handle, to a large extent, the Marshall, Michigan and Dilbert spill.
Sure, the Kalamazoo River spill, yeah.
Yep, mm-hmm.
They paid all of that out of pocket.
I don't know that for a fact. I lose track of some of these things after a while. And so my background or my information might be a little outdated.
But as the best of your memory, they paid for it.
Well, they paid at least a big chunk, and that number went well past $1 billion.
If there were a big spill in the Straits of Mackinac, how long would it take to get the equipment and personnel in place to deal with a leak?
Well, this is what's disturbing. I know they've looked at spill response scenarios and various staging. And they probably have a lot of equipment staged in various parts where they can respond fairly quickly. But the problem is the law of Murphy may kick in here. Line 5 also moves propane. And so the law of Murphy says your worst-case scenario would be the line, splits open or breaks, ruptures, and it's got a batch of propane along with it. And, releasing propane in the area, it would prevent the emergency responders, the oil spill response crews, from getting into the site and recovering for quite a while. And so that's something that when people look at the spill response, would you be able to get access to the site? And you may not for a while, which means it could really spread.
What kind of resources does it take to clean up a large spill? I mean, we've remembered the Gulf of Mexico. I think Kalamazoo River was different because it's confined to a river.
The Kalamazoo was different. It had dilbit and it sank. Most conventional oils float when they hit water. And a lot of the oil in the Gulf, Macondo well, it was more conventional oil, so it tends to float, which means traditional ways of oil spill response for conventional oil is you contain, boom, and try to recover, skim, and recover before it hits the shores or gets too far along the sensitive waterways. And even then, history shows you just don't recover a large segment of the oil. You get a piece of it, but not a lot, and so that could be a problem. So the first rule in oil spill response, and I'm not trying to make light of this, is don't spill the oil. The second rule is if you violate the first rule, have equipment and staging and a plan that will actually work and where you're reasonably effective. And so they may look at the conventional way of dealing with this, and if it doesn't have propane, their plan may be very well, likely to be successful. But if it's got the propane, and again, as I mentioned, law of Murphy tends to align these scenarios in the worst cases, you're not going to be able to use conventional methods for quite a while.
Enbridge has said these worst-case scenarios are flawed. that any spill could be shut off pretty quickly because they could shut down the flow through the line in no time. What do you think of that?
Well, I know more about that area. I'm one of the few people who have actually, you know, looked at the submerged pipelines crossing the straits. I think they actually believe they can do that, and if they get notification, there's no doubt that they could shut the system in fairly quickly and limit the size of the oil spill. But they'll have to really look that over to be sure that what they think they can do, they can actually do in a, again, Murphy may align that it's winter time, the winds are blowing like crazy, that area has currents like you can't believe. And so they may have thought this through. I think if they've got a good plan, they ought to be able to demonstrate that. But it gets back to, this is a very sensitive area, so try to just keep the oil out of there.
As you know, Enbridge has been talking about a utility tunnel underground below the Straits of Mackinac. Would that fix it? Would that eliminate the threat to the Great Lakes?
From this particular site under the Straits, this isn't the first pipeline where someone has utilized a tunnel for a very sensitive pipeline route. The way the tunnel would work, if the pipeline were to fail, and it's not likely to in a tunnel.
Sure, it's not buffered like it was, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, you've got an air buffer between that and the soil. And so if it were to release, it's going to take the path of least resistance, and it's going to flow out towards the ends of the tunnel. And, you know, there are ways to protect that so it doesn't reach the sensitive waterways. So, yes, a tunnel is an excellent mechanism, but I got to be fair to Enbridge. It's not a cheap mechanism. All right.
Yeah,
that's
talk
a
about
big deal.
$500 million, I think.
Well, I don't know how accurate that number is, but yeah, it isn't cheap. I'll agree with that.
Still cheaper than a $2 billion cleanup.
Yes, it would be. Yes, it would be.
So the length of Line 5 in Michigan is entirely within the watershed of the Great Lakes, and it crosses the St. Clair River south of Lake Huron. It seems to me a leak anywhere is actually a Great Lakes leak because all the tributaries run to the Great Lakes. Is that as much of a problem as a leak in the Straits?
It's more of a risk because there's more miles of pipe that is closer to other waterways that are not as robust as the two pipelines underneath the straits. They're a whole different animal, different type of pipe, different thickness, different safety margins, all right? And you got less miles of it. But the point is there are risks to the onshore pipeline segments. How would you handle those, and how are you handling those? Because you've got more miles that could possibly fail and get oil into a sensitive water.
It's been 8 years, but everybody still remembers the Kalamazoo Enbridge pipeline spill pretty well, and that affected at least 35 miles of the river. And as you noted, there's probably some oil still left behind. What did that teach the company and the state of Michigan about the threats of these oil and gas pipelines?
In fairness, I've got to take a lot of the Enbridge officers at their word because they've been consistent. They truly saw it as a cultural learning curve that just totally surprised them, would be my observation of those people. And so if they've used it as a legitimate lessons learned and have adjusted their culture, that's a good thing, though it came at a tremendous price, tremendous cost.
Richard Kuperwitz is the president of the company Accufax Incorporated, and he's a pipeline safety consultant. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, and good day.
Enbridge declined to make someone available to discuss specifics about its insurance coverage in the event of an oil spill in the Straits of Mackinac, but did send a statement which reads in part, quote, "In the unlikely event of an emergency, we will not leave until the work is done. Enbridge has pledged to take full responsibility for the cleanup of any release in Michigan or anywhere along its pipeline system. The company's financial position and past follow-through on our commitment to Marshall, Michigan support this pledge. Enbridge paid a full $1.2 billion cost of the July 2010 Marshall spill in Michigan on Line 6B, even though it exceeded insurance coverage." The statement goes on to say safety and prevention of a spill is the company's number one priority.